All righty, folks, we are fired up.
All that stretching Jeff do, he's not very, very limber.
He's a lot of things. Limber's not on the top of the list. joining us right now, we're fired up to talk to our friend, former Redskins quarterback, Mr. Jason Campbell.
JC17. What's up, brother?
What up, man?
Man, what's going on, fellas? Long time, man. I've been, you know, keeping up with you guys a little bit, but, you know, it's exciting times right now in Washington, but doing pretty good, man. Can't complain.
How's
you've
fatherhood,
been busy,
brother?
Too, the new dad, yeah.
I tell you what, fatherhood got me sleep deprived.
I imagine.
It's definitely exciting. I wouldn't trade it, but definitely you don't get as much sleep as you used to.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Confirmed. well, dude, I'm curious. I mean, I know from your work with Auburn and watching all the SEC games, you had to know Jaden Daniels' football game pretty well. Have you been surprised? Was this what you expected? What have you made of Daniels' leap to the NFL so far?
I'm not surprised to the point, just because you got Cliff Kingsbury, you know, who's with Lincoln Riley out at USC last year when he was sitting out for a year, and he was around a lot of these offenses that, you know, these guys run at the college level that they're now implementing to the NFL. And Jaden Daniels, he was at LSU and we played him last year. I told everybody, I said, man, I'm very impressed when I walked away from that game. I said, he's going to be the Heisman winner because everyone knows he's elusive. He can run the ball. He knows how to pull the ball down and throw. But the biggest thing about a guy, his maturity as a young quarterback, is a lot of these guys, they pull the ball down. The first thing they do, their eyes goes to the defender. You know, they're trying to beat the defender on a run. His eyes immediately stays downfield. And he's able to hit big throws, and that's what makes him dynamic. Because if you're a defensive back or a linebacker, you can't just run up to just tackle him because you know that he'll deliver the ball behind you to guys that's running loose down the field. And I saw him do that at LSU, going through his first progression, second progression, third progression at times before he even decided to take off. And to me, that shows signs of maturity quarterback that could translate to the NFL.
You know, that what you're talking about, they did it over and over and over again when they played against the Cardinals, where he'll get outside on the edge, and it's two defensive backs, two receivers, and him. The defensive backs couldn't make the right decision. And they step up, he tossed the ball, as you stated. They drop back, he runs. If they both try to come up, he'll wait for the deeper ball and then knock it down the field. And I think I was at the Cleveland Browns Hotel the other night, and basically when I left out, I basically knew that he was going to be a problem for them on defense because they were concerned about how elusive and how much he moves in the pocket.
Right.
And he made those pass rushers have to change what they were doing, which enabled him more time.
And the thing about it too, B-Mitch, is, you know, JP, when you think about it as a passer, right, so this guy can drop back in the pocket, he can read defenses, he can deliver the football, but then you tag the RPO game to it, so it almost makes the defense can't be right. So if you come up, he can pull the ball and throw the deep glance routes behind you. He can throw the slants behind you. If you come up field too much, he can go underneath. And and the best thing that he has helping him right now is Brian Robinson and Ackler. They're actually running the football. They're not just dropping back 40, 50 times a game and just saying, hey, you know, we're just going to put the ball in the air. They have a well-balanced attack. And involved in that is his rushing. Like, I remember the first game, everyone was in there about, oh, he ran the ball 16 times against Tampa. I said, out of those 16 runs, it wasn't designed runs. You know, a lot of it was he was scrambling up in the pocket. He saw something. He went and got positive yards. And that's what he's very smart at. He has a 77% completion percentage right now, and you know, which is awesome in the NFL after breaking a record at 82% of the first four games. But right now, he's the only 1,000-yard passer and 250-yard rusher within the first 4 weeks of the season, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Think about all the guys that come through, Vic, Lamar, all these guys is very dynamic quarterbacks. So it tells me, I remember someone said something a couple weeks ago that kind of disturbed me. They said, well, he's running a college offense. It doesn't matter what kind of offense you're running if it fits your quarterback. That's what disturbed me back in the day was they try to make you fit the system of what, you know, coordinators wanted to do instead of building the system around what the quarterback does best. That's why Lamar is able to win multiple MVPs. That's why Jaden is in conversation right now, is because they built the offense to what these guys do well. Don't put a Ferrari in a garage and never use it. You know, like, that's what Cliff Kingsbury is doing. He's using it. He said, hey, I'm going to make you have to defend every area of the football field. And for Dan Quinn and Bobby Wagner, they've seen this before Russell Wilson when he was a rookie at Seattle. Yep. So you put that with a great defense and a young rookie quarterback with that doesn't turn the ball over consistently, it gives you an opportunity to win.
You know what kills me? I hear this college quarterback crap.
That's such a good line.
And I want to use some foul language, but I can't do it.
What the hell do
they think Tom Brady ran? Tom Brady ran the spread offense. That's a college offense, right?
Right.
Okay. What does my man up there in Buffalo runs? Same thing that Jaden is running. All these other quarterbacks run the same thing, but when Jaden does it and other people, it's a college offense. Get off of it. You know, it's like you can't just give credit to the quarterback. You know, it's been a fight for the longest. Right now they're doing the thing, the evolution of the quarterback. Him, Mike Vick, Doug, all these guys. Why every time someone becomes successful, they want to find a way to knock it? That's what Tom did. That's what Aaron Rodgers does all the time. Let's be real.
The thing is, we live in a society where people have to build somebody up, they got to tear somebody down. And instead of just being excited about the person having the opportunity, because everyone, when you come through different franchises, it's different eras, it's different times. And, you know, fortunate enough, when Jaden's coming through here, it's under new ownership, it's under new opportunities. You got an experienced head coach. You have, you know, guys that are just, you know, willing to buy into what they're trying to do. And that stuff takes time, but everyone's got to be willing to buy in. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to build Jaden up to tear down everybody else, or you don't have to tear down Jaden to build up, you know, other players. Like Mahomes runs a different offense, you know. Mm-hmm. When Andy Reid said when he was with McNabb and he was with some of the other guys, he tailored his offense to what those guys did well. Yep. When he got with Mahomes, he said Mahomes had a bigger arm. So he said, I'm going to tailor the ball to going down the field a little bit more instead of just staying true to the true West Coast, which is the slants, the curl routes and all the digs and those things. He started pushing the ball further down the field. So great coaches adapt to their great athletes. And mm-hmm. that's what you're seeing happening in Washington right now, is they're actually turning him loose. Now, there are going to be some hiccups here and there when people start to figure out a few things. Yeah, they'll figure out a few things, but he does so much well, it's hard to stop all of it.
I mean, what do you make of Jaden having the incredible accuracy for a few games? Then yesterday, mm-hmm. they don't see zone, they see man. The accuracy dips, but the big plays start to hit. Is that taking what the defense gives you? Is that making an adjustment? Like, what did you see was the difference there?
Well, it's easier to complete passes against zone, right, because it's more progression-based. So, you know, you're kind of reading the levels of the linebackers. Do I try to go over top? Do I drop the ball off down low? Do the linebackers sit up and drop zone? And now I'm able to hit the second and third level throws. But when you get man, your guy's running completely, you know, with the receiver man to man. So your throw has got to be a little bit more accurate, per se.
But all that.
You're right, out in front and everything. So you can't be off a little bit like you can be in zone. But and man, you definitely got to be more accurate. And I think the thing about it, though, if you choose to play him man, you're going to get what you saw yesterday, was him get outside the pocket and hit Terry McLaurin on a 66-yard pass. You know, and then, you know, you hit Brown on the pass where he was able to drop back in the pocket and right in rhythm. 1, 2, 3, rhythm throw. Boom. Hits on the go route down the sideline. So there's things that he does well. So you can't just say, okay, we'll play man so that way we can put an extra spy in the box for him. And now you have a spy for him. Good luck with your spy. If he don't run a 4.3 40 or 4.4 and he can run sideline to sideline, because if you go man and your spy can't get to him, there's 30, 40 yards he's ripping off. And it allows guys like Terry McLaurin. This is probably the only coverage that Terry has gotten lately where he's like, man, all I got to do is beat my man in front of me. I don't have to worry about safety over top because they got to put an extra guy in the box now, which gives your receivers an opportunity to win.
I think when you look at the game the other night with Kirk Cousins, they ran zone, and he picked it apart. He was throwing the ball. A guy run to a spot, boom, he threw it to him. And I think if they had played more man, then that's when you get an opportunity with Kirk. The thing with Jaden, just like you stated, if they keep running man, believe me, Cliff will figure out something. Oh, they're going to be running man. They turn their backs for you, get those yards, get down. Then all of a sudden, you know what they do? Hey, play zone now. And then you just pick them apart that way.
Well, the other part they haven't even got to yet in the RPO game is, which they will continue to get to, is you haven't even saw the part yet where they run the RPO and, you know, of course, we see Jaden keeps the ball or he handed it off, but then you're hitting a tight end out in the flats. You know, and then the next part of it is, as a cornerback, if he comes out to the flats, as long as he's still behind the line of scrimmage, you can now throw the ball to the receiver 10 to 12 yards sitting on the sideline. So do you stay back or do you come up? So those are the other aspects that's going to get to that offense that they haven't even got to yet. They may run the speed option on third and short. So you in man, somebody got the quarterback, but then you're pitching off the guy on the end because everybody else is pinched inside. Now who's got the running back? You know, so you got to make decisions and stuff that comes off all of this where you run an option pitch to the running back, and now if you're the corner, you come up, now you got the option pass off of it. So I've seen so much of this system before and everything. It's a fun system being if you have an elite quarterback that's very skilled at running and throwing and, you know, can present a lot of problems. It's just so much that he can dive into before people just start saying, oh, we can stop this. So this is what we'll do to prepare for this. This week we'll force him to have to throw the ball against tight coverage, and we'll blitz him inside. Well, if you blitz him inside and your ends can't get him outside upfield, you're in trouble there. Yeah. So it's just you have to make a decision when you're playing this offense because right now they're reeling and they're hot and everything's clicking. I just, you know, you don't want to see a bye week. You want to keep this thing keep rolling because you don't want any time off when it's clicking.
Well, hey, good news, JC. They don't get a bye till the middle of December.
That's good.
So that's good news.
Boy, you sound just like my coach from college. Boy, he just everything he was saying was explaining. We ran a option with a passing game into it. And everything Jay said is exactly what Coach Cutler was saying.
I love that. Talking with our friend Jason Campbell here on the BetQL guest line. Of course, Jason, first-round pick by the Redskins in 2005, showed just so much promise in an era of Redskins football that was just so broken, unfortunately. Obviously does a ton of work with his Auburn Tigers, a team that was – you were on the undefeated team that got totally screwed by the NCAA, right?
Yeah, I was on the undefeated team.
Cadillac.
We had to play Virginia Tech and Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. That was Cadillac and Ronnie Brown?
Yep, Cadillac and Ronnie Brown.
I mean, that team was loaded. I do want to ask you a college football question because I imagine there was one result over the weekend that you were pretty excited about. but before we do that, let's look ahead. I know it's only Monday, but this weekend you get Lamar versus Jaden. You get Ravens versus Commanders, and the Vegas odds makers have the Ravens as pretty big favorites. What do you think in this thing?
Let me see. Where's the game at?
It's in Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore. Man, this is a tough one because, you know, you're taking a hot team that's traveling on the road, and it's not like Baltimore. It's not like you have to get on the flight or anything. So it's going to be a lot of fans there on both sides. You know, you're kind of playing like you're looking at two of the same quarterbacks, and one is the predecessor, and the other one is the guy that kind of resembles you as your twin when you look in the mirror. You know, and it's going to come down to which defenses can play the best because and who protects the football, because this is going to be a game that, you know, Baltimore's kind of struggled defensively a little bit against quarterbacks like Jaden, and you know they're coming off a game where they kind of got a little bit of a gift, not winning in Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati missing that field goal with the botched snap.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a game to me that all the headlines are going to be on Lamar and Jaden. And if you're the other teammates, you know this game is still going to be won in the trenches because, yes, you're going to try to put a dot on both of those guys and make sure that you're stopping them. But whoever runs the football successfully with their running backs, and the tough thing about this, Derrick Henry, it seemed like he just hit his peak. And so if I'm Washington, you got to load up the box first, right, to stop the run game, Lamar and Derrick Henry, right? If they beat you one-on-one in a passing game in man coverage, then so be it. But you got to stop their main thing first. And then if I'm Washington, you know, let Jaden go. You know, like let him go. Like put emphasis on Baltimore's defense. You know they're going to blitz. You know they're going to bring different things. But that's the one thing about the RPO game is it settles down some of those blitzes because if you blitz, there's open holes right behind it. And so they're going to do a lot of disguise coverage on Jaden, and they're going to line up pre-snap, but then show him another thing at the snap of the ball. And I think that's something that Kingsbury is going to be working really hard with him this week to prepare for. Don't get caught up in pre-snap, but they're going to do things to try to, you know, show you a different look. But when the ball snaps, it's going to end up in something else.
When you look at a game like they just played against the Bengals, mm-hmm. when that game is so high because it's like a rivalry game.
Right.
That next week is normally tough, just like Alabama just faced.
Mm-hmm.
beat Georgia, lose to Vanderbilt. Can that be something that Washington could be looking at when it comes down to Baltimore? Because I know Baltimore's prepared. I know John Harbaugh very well. But ultimately, human beings are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that game takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think about it. Yesterday, they had to go overtime, right?
Yep.
So you have to play, you're playing extra time, which, in, you know, in the NFL, be mentioned, it takes your body to the next Friday before it actually recovers. Now, if you got to go into overtime, that just takes a little bit longer. So it gives Washington an opportunity where they kind of had this game won in the first half against the Browns, and you didn't have to overextend yourself so much in the second half. So you may be the fresher squad, and you're the younger team. You know, Washington's a little bit younger, except for, you know, a few guys like Bobby and those guys. But for the most part, you're younger than Baltimore, and you're more hungrier right now. You know, Baltimore's had some success of recent. You know, Washington is trying to get back to having success. And the one thing you cannot coach in this business or prepare for is confidence. And when a team has confidence and they feel like they can go anywhere and win, which is what Washington feels like right now, I like their chances in Baltimore because, like you said, it's hard to get up high twice back-to-back when you especially had to go in overtime to win a game. You just saw it happen to Bama and Georgia, and they go to Vanderbilt, and everyone's like, Alabama loses to the number one team in the country. I mean, Bama loses number one, loses to Vanderbilt. So it can happen, and that's why it's all any given Sunday, because it's too hard in this league to get up every single week. Even though you try, it's just hard.
It certainly is. Now, if anybody wants to follow Jason, it's at @jcam_17 on Twitter. I know I also follow you on Instagram. What's your Instagram, JC?
JCampbell17.
Okay, JCampbell17. Now, unfortunately, you may or may not know this. I root for Bama. I know you don't like hearing that. They lost to Vandy, and it's one thing to lose a game like that, but they couldn't stop freaking Vanderbilt. They couldn't get a stop when they needed to.
Mm.
This isn't the year you wanted for your Auburn Tigers. But what what level of enjoyment do you get watching Bama lose to damn Vanderbilt?
Oh, man, I tell you what, JP, I'm surprised you at work today being a Bama fan. Yeah. You know, usually you guys lose, man. Y'all, you know, you
have they hide, don't they?
Watch. Yeah, they hide.
I'm a casual Bama fan. I'm not screaming yellow hammer at anybody.
You know, it shocks me that you're a Bama fan. Bama fans kind of remind me of Cowboy fans.
Secretly, we think he's one of those too, Jay.
I'm trying to let you get a chance to brag, and you're just taking shots at me, JC.
Well, I say, you know, watching that game Saturday, like, you know, Auburn, we should be 5-1. We had 15 turnovers in our three losses in the first four games of the season. It's hard to win playing anybody turn the ball over that much. And, you know, after we lost to Georgia on Saturday, you're sitting there, you're just like, geez, man, like, we're so close to getting back with our young guys that are freshmen and sophomores. But I said, how bad does it feel that I got to sit here and be happy that Bama lost just so I can have some type of smile at the end of the night, eat some popcorn, and just forget about the loss that we just had. So we got a ways to go to get back to where we want to be at Auburn, but seeing Bama, you know, lose on Saturday, I really don't get joy out of seeing other people lose, but for some reason, just watching Vanderbilt, because that quarterback, was it Piva?
Yeah.
He beat us last year at New Mexico State when they came to Auburn. That was embarrassing. And then now to see him transfer to Vanderbilt and beat Alabama, I don't have to be embarrassed.
That man might have made him some money.
he made some money. He tailored his game after Manziel. So it probably give him some good NIL money. You know, B-Mitch, we didn't have NIL money back in the day. These guys, they come into the NFL, some of them millionaires already. So,
see, don't be talking about we. I probably didn't have it. I don't know about you.
Listen, B, it might have been called something different, but you had NIL, dude.
It was called.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea.
Dude, Jason, seriously, I don't know the last time you've been up here for a game, but if they call and reach out, I think you should come. The atmosphere
is different.
It's cool, yeah. Man. I think you'd enjoy it.
No, I definitely want to come up. I know you just had alumni weekend. Unfortunately, I couldn't. Well, alumni weekend is coming up. I got to go to Missouri. Yeah, so I'm calling a game Auburn in Missouri that weekend, so I can't make alumni weekend, but I definitely want to come up. I definitely feel the excitement and the joy around the team. It's good to see these guys 4-1, And, you know, Washington deserves it. You know, this fan base deserves it. They've been through a lot. And, you know, you just get tired of losing, right? And you, and now you get a chance to win and get a chance to hang your hat on something. And, you know, this ownership now, this second year, has already taken huge strides in bringing in the right people and making sure, you know, that things stick together as well. So, you know, Auburn, Washington has a chance to continue. It's going to be interesting. I keep hearing this Devontae Adams trade to Washington. The only thing about that that concerns me is you mess up the rhythm. You mess up. You got to get things going, and you bring in a big name like that. He's going to require, you know, touches, right? So now you start to take the focus off what you're doing as a whole offense right now, which is really, really well, to start to try to implement someone else that, you know, he's a talented receiver and all of that, but would it mess up what you're already doing? Is it worth trying? And I just, you know, me personally, I probably would just kind of stay away from it, especially when you got a young quarterback like Jay. Just let him keep developing without the pressure of having to force the ball to guys.
Yeah, I don't think that thing's realistic at all.
I don't know.
Last thing for our friend Jason Campbell. All right, you were a first rounder in 2005. Do you remember how many Auburn Tigers were first round picks that year?
Four.
You name them. I guess you're going to get this easy if you remember the number.
Yeah. Ronnie was 2, Cadillac was 5, Carlos Rogers was 9, and then I was 25.
It's pretty crazy that two of you were drafted by Washington.
Damn.
Right. That's ironic. That just doesn't happen all the time, you know, to get guys on the same team like that. Like I said, I enjoy my time at Washington. Just had to go through a lot of chaos and everything. And, you know, I wish it wasn't the chaotic and all the, you know, things we had to go through, because – you want to win so bad, and Washington is such a great, great city to play football in and live in that community and everything. But I'm glad to see them back in a place right now where they feel like they got a guy. They feel like, you know, guys are buying in, guys are excited. You know, over the last 8 years, it's been rough, you know, for sure. But now these guys are really getting some excitement. And it's easy when you have an unselfish quarterback, you know, like, I look at Jay and I watch his interviews and everything. He gets so much praise to his teammates, so much praise to the staff and everybody around him. He doesn't look at himself as like, because he knows it's taking a total team effort, but he's really playing the quarterback position really well. And Kingsbury is giving him an opportunity to succeed. But at the same time, though, he's not putting the shelf on himself. And I think as long as he continues to do that, man, and stay healthy, you know, that's the biggest thing. Just continue to stay healthy as a team. Then give yourself an opportunity to win the NFC East and then get into the playoffs, and anything can happen.
See what happens.
Anything can happen. Jason, thank you for the time, man. Seriously, appreciate it.
Hi, JP. Cool, brother. Thank you, man.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right.